Hi, happy husband. He is a doll. First, I just want to say thank you. For those of you who don't know, hi, I'm Diana Anderson. I'm the worship pastor here for this incredible place of lovers. And we just sent a team to London, England, to be at a conference with our sister church, Commonwealth. And we took a ministry team to accompany Pastor Steve, who went and spoke there. And then in October, we talked about in the announcements that, you know, announcements. Who pays attention to announcements? Anyway, so the announcements, we have a power conference coming in October. And the pastors from our sister church, Commonwealth, Rod and Julie, are coming here, and they're bringing a few of their worship team, and also just some of the members of their church are coming because they love to just be with us. And so that's really exciting. And so today, I want to bring a gift to you of koinonia, of fellowship. 3 years ago, we started taking teams over to London. And London is, what's special about London? Nothing except that it's special in God's heart, and we have a relationship with another body there. I listened on Wednesday night, by the way, all of you who sang me happy birthday online, you totally smashed it. It was so awesome. It was really humbling. I'm like, oh my God, I have nowhere to hide. It's the whole church singing happy birthday. So thank you. I receive that blessing. And I'm going to come back to that also today and talk of our fellowship. So our team went to London, and we've had three teams now go and accompany Pastor Steve for the Chosen Prayer Conference. And those of you at Commonwealth, we love you. We love you, and thank you for the honor of partnering with you, and we can't wait for you guys to come here, and if you haven't prayed, you need to pray, because you should be here in October. All right, now that I've sent out the Holy Spirit spank, we went for the sole purpose of loving, and love manifests itself in different ways. We are watching love being poured out right now on Houston as Richard shared that word and as Pastor Brian had us pray. Love comes from the Father, and it expresses itself in so many different forms. And often we will mistake sympathy for love. And we will act in a way that addresses an outer issue without addressing the inner issue. And God is always after the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God is always looking at our hearts. So we got to go to London. We got to pray, be part of a ministry team. We got to pray for our pastor and his wife. We got to pray for all of the people that came to the conference. We got to pray for the people who worked at the conference. And what was so wonderful is that while we were there loving on them, we felt you here loving on us, loving on them, which doubled the portion we got to give. Because God is into a cross, which is first vertical and second horizontal. And so every single one of us has a part to play in the fulfillment of the kingdom. So koinonia, fellowship. God didn't need to create a planet with imperfect beings. If he's a perfect God, why didn't he create perfect beings? Anyone scratch their head about that one? Because boy, we sure mess up a lot. I loved this morning, if you weren't here for the 9 a.m., go back and listen to Pastor Brian's talk about holding our place in about 3 minutes. Ooh, I love 3 minutes. We probably need an adjustment every 3 minutes to hold our place, to be mindful of God, to be dwelling in the beloved, because we're bombarded by what's around us. We're bombarded by our circumstances. We're bombarded by, you know, floods. There's a lot of people in this room who are in the midst of a flood right now. Waters have broken through and they've upturned stuff in our lives, in our relationships, in our health, in our finances. Every one of us does not go through life perfect. Every one of us goes through life in need of a Savior and in need of those He has chosen to be His expression. We are the hands and the feet of Jesus on the earth. And it is so important that we are not just giving from ourselves, our flesh, our souls, but that we as the body of Christ are actually handing out Christ. How does that transpire? We were praying for Pastor Steve at the conference. Our team was in the tent with Steve and Cammie. And as we were praying just over them, a word came. You now are no longer, let me back up. We saw a basket in his hands, and that basket was woven with gold. And the word that came was, you are no longer going to give Steve Dittmar. You are now going to give Jesus Christ. And when Pastor came back, he kind of shared that testimony a little. But, you know, years ago, this church was in revival. There was life. There was healings. There was hundreds more people here. And in the midst of that, the Father questioned Steve and said, do you want this or do you want me? What? Aren't they the same? Right? Well, what we learn with God is God asks funny questions, and it's best to just say, Father, you know. Because whenever the Lord asks us a question, he's after something much deeper than our first answer. Because we're going to answer according to our own understanding. So, needless to say, it faded, the church split, a lot of pain, a lot of stuff happened. And, you know, and Pastor shared this testimony. You can read it in either of his books, Saved Your Seat, Whatever I Win. But what happened was that God began a journey with our pastor and therefore with all of us as part of Jubilee. Because even though we weren't there when it started, I mean, some of you were. God bless the faithful ones who have been there since that word started. But all of us are included in the promise that was given to him. And the Lord gave him a promise, I will give myself. So life happened, and suffering happened, and everything that looked the exact opposite to that promise came through our pastor's life until he learned to hold a place in Jesus irrespective of what's going on outside. The Lord began to visit him and take him up into a place of abiding in the presence of God and in the reality of his word. I'm going to say that again. The reality of his word. And he began to learn to just dwell in the reality of that word until that word began to transform everything where this no longer had any impact. So fast forward, and I'm going to tie all these little bits. I'm dropping a little here, I'm dropping a little there, I'm dropping a little there. I'm going to tie them all together. In the reality of that word, our pastor has now been brought up to a place of abiding in the word, where God now brought the word and said, now you are going to give Jesus, no longer Steve Dittmar. And my hope is that every single one of us will desire that prayer. I want do not give you me. I'm shiny, I'm bouncy, I'm curly, I'm springy, I'm a show-off. I was born all these things. You know, people come and they're like, you know, ever since you guys were on camera, you just feel fake. I'm like, that's a lie. I was this way before we had cameras. Hi, 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 that's me, okay? I'm just that way. And you know what? That's fun, that's entertaining, and that's great, and that's part of the expression of my Father. But that, without Holy Spirit on it, that doesn't change or heal anything. But with Holy Spirit on it, it changes everything. I want to give Jesus. I want to break off part of me, and I want you to eat eternity. That's why it's so important that we learn to abide in the Word. Jesus called himself a door. Let me find my page. Da, 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 da. No? Don't you love when you like write all your notes and then you come to them and they're like, not there? Yeah. I loved that gentleman, Mr. Lee, last week, just pray in tongues. Oh, it's fabulous. Pray in tongues. Okay, here we are. Let's go, Kim, to John 10, verse 7. I love that man. Do you see that I'm not up here by myself? There are people in their intercessory room praying for me. Praise God. I've got Kim over there. I've got Chris on camera. I've got David on switcher. I've got ushers at the door. I've got teachers in the back. I got Rosie busting a move in the cafe with all her team. It is a fellowship of believers that brings us to the Lord. But I digress. Okay, verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Jesus is the door. Jesus is the Word. Let's go to John 1. John 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Logos, the completion. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Go back to one, please. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is God. The Word is a door. All right. So, you've got this thing, the Bible, that God saw fit to leave for his church. It is an instruction manual. It is a map. It is a guide. It is a help. It is a cop. It is a counselor. And it's a door. And it's a door to God. It's not a door to right behavior. It's not a door towards magic beans. If I do this, you'll give me that. It's not a door to any of that. It is a door to God. The word is alive, it is living and breathing. And right now, we're being invited into a door of transformation, a door of revelation, a door where there is so much more than we could imagine. So, backing up because I got ahead of myself. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 3, verse 14. Brian shared it before. I'm going to share it again. Until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is, I'm going to add the word only, taken away in Christ. Let's skip to 16. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I'm going to give a definition of a couple of words. Lord means owner. Owner. We say, Lord Jesus, you are Lord. You are Lord. It means he's the owner of everything. That kind of has a different connotation to it. It's slightly different. I mean, the king, yes, the king is the owner, but we look at Jesus and we see him as glorious. We see him as the savior. We see him as the high priest. He's the owner of everything. And he's a spirit. He's breath. He's ruach. He's that which animates the physical form. He is the life giving substance. Where he is, there's liberty. Liberty. License. Liberty to do or to omit things having no relationship to salvation. I'm going to say that one again. What? The liberty to do or to omit things that have no relationship to salvation. You see, all things are lawful for me because I've been saved, I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I can go out and sin today and I can actually get forgiven. It's funny, Pastor was preaching that at the conference and they all went, whoo! Please tell us you're not telling our congregation to sin. And he's like, yep. I'm not telling them to sin. I'm just saying that if they do, Jesus is faithful to redeem because the blood is sufficient. The blood is sufficient. But not everything is lawful for me. Not everything is beneficial. I can, under the grace of God, do anything I actually please because that forgiveness is complete and is not dependent on my good or bad behavior. However, not everything is beneficial. In my liberty, I want to do that which is going to have relationship with salvation. And herein comes the koinonia. As I live my life, I don't live my life unto myself. As I live my life unto God, I do not live my life solely unto God, because God's plan is that as I live here, it flows here. Otherwise, my relationship is solely selfish and just for myself. What can I go get from God? What can I go get from God just for me? Just for me, I'm going to go to God. I don't need all of this. I can just stay and I can pray in my room by myself. And yes, you can. And yes, that's helpful and that's important and God wants that. But this is not the end result of the product. It must result in koinonia. It must result in the outpouring, in the fellowship of reaching out to my brothers and to my sisters. And so it's really important to keep this one in line, because once you start pouring this way, it's really easy to suddenly only be about this. Because this has a lot of need, right? Earth has a lot of need. And we can, and I'm going to pour out for God, I'm going to pour out for God, I'm going to pour out for God. Ding, dry. Back, 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 back. And how long does that take? 3 minutes. I can forget that this is the source that fast. I need to remain here. I need to abide here. How do I abide here? The word is a door. We sang a song, all your promises are yes and amen. Kim, would you find that scripture? I have it written down in my notes, but by the time I find where it is, dun, 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 yes and amen. Ah! Nope, can't find it in my notes. They get all jumbled when you get up here. All right. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. I want to talk to you about the word amen. We hear amen as yes, I agree, right? If I say, Jesus Christ is Lord, and y'all say, amen. Amen. We agree. We agree. Well, as I was doing some research, it got a little bigger this week. And it said, at the beginning of a discourse, surely it is. At the end, so it is, and may it be fulfilled. It was a custom which passed over from the synagogues to the Christian churches, the Christian assemblies, that when he who had read or discoursed had offered up solemn prayer to God, the others responded, amen, and thus made the substance of what was uttered their own. So amen isn't just I agree, because it's real easy to assent and to agree. When you got a good pastor up here, when you got a good preacher up here, they're going, come on, yes, and everybody's like, amen, 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 and we go home and nothing's changed. Because it's real easy to agree without making it our own. But amen is to own it. Lord, owner. The Lord is the owner of all things. When I hear his word, when I hear a truth of the word that's being given, my amen is not just a mental assent. It must be eaten. It must be imbibed. It must come into me if I'm going to allow it to transform me. As I get transformed by the renewing of my mind in the Word, as I hear the promises of God, suddenly those amens come in and they change me. Because now by faith, when I hear those promises, I'm not just giving a mental assent. Amen, sister. Amen, brother. Hallelujah. It's like, yes, that's mine. I want you to close your eyes right now. Holy Spirit, would you bring up a promise you've spoken over everyone in here? Or a promise you want to give them right now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, bring up a promise right now. A promise to your people right now. Whether it's an old promise or a fresh one right now. Holy Spirit, these are your people. You love them. Speak a promise right now. Thank you, Jesus. All right, don't think too hard. A lot of times it's just a whisper. I want you to take that promise. If you have paper, I want you to write it down. If you don't have paper, I want you to see yourself right now. Close your eyes. We're going to use our imaginations. And I want you to see a pen in your hand, and I want you to see a piece of paper, and I want you to write that promise. I want you to see yourself forming the words on the paper right now. His promise to me is... And write that promise down. Write it. Write it. Write it. If you felt you didn't hear a promise right now, his word is filled with promises. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Behold, I am with you always. Write that one down. If you haven't heard something, he will never leave me. Write that down. See yourself writing it right now. That's your promise. That's your promise. This promise of God is not, yes, I'm in the mood. No, I'm not in the mood. The promise of God is yes and amen. The amen comes not when you agree that that promise is for you, but when you take it and you own it. And you eat it and you say, this is my promise. Now let it come and transform me. And be careful, because it's gonna. It's now gonna start showing up in ways you didn't think. Oh, it's so fun. Becky and I were talking this week about how when we pray and we ask God and we hear promises, he says, I'm going to do this. Immediately, again, we assent to it with our understanding. Our mind agrees. Ah, yes, I know exactly what that looks like. And we can see it and we can write the script. And we can go, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. And God goes, wrong. The exact opposite is going to happen. Save that story. I'll come back to you. Okay, so, and what happens is he begins a process of work that is going to deliver that promise through us. God doesn't want to do stuff to you. We think God just wants to come and do something to us. Like, I'm going to change that behavior. You're just going to not do that anymore. You're just going to not love chocolate anymore. You're just not going to be a liar anymore. We want God to do something to us. And God says, I have no desire to do something to you. I've done everything that needs to be done on the cross. My work is finished for you. Now I want to see it come through you. And as it comes through us, we become broken bread and poured out wine. We are changed from this, I agree and I need and when this, then that, to Christ within me, Christ before me, Christ behind me. Christ is the substance that begins to form in us. And then the promises that he's given to us, we recognize as something much, much bigger than ourselves. His promise for me is a promise for Jordan. The promise for Jordan is a promise for Carmelita. God's promises are the yes and amen of heaven to see what? To see his glory manifest on the earth. So all this teaching. Okay. Yes and amen. Look, I found it. Yes and amen. All right, let's go to Romans 12. Verse 1. I'm going to start reading. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Conformed and transformed. So he says, don't be conformed to this world. Conformity is something you do. I will conform. Like when I was in junior high, I conformed to be like my girlfriends, right? If they all dressed this way, I dressed this way. If we all wore our hair one way, I wore my hair one way. If we all laughed, made my sister nuts. She's like, could you please get rid of that laugh? Where did you get that? I'm like, ha ha, ha ha, ha ha. Oh, shoot me now, right? So, but that was what my friends did. So we all were conforming to this sameness, conforming to this image. It was something we were adopting through our own choosing, through our own minds, to be a certain way that we thought was fun. It was fun for us, not so much for anybody else. And he says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? Okay, so transformed. To change into another form, to transfigure. When Christ's appearance was changed, he was resplendent with divine brightness. He was changed. I want to be changed. I don't want to become Pastor Steve. I admire and honor and look up to my pastor, and you will see things in me that are him because I'm a disciple. I'm a learner under him. So I will take on some of those traits and I'll conform a bit. I will yield a bit. I might pray differently because I'm trying something. You know, Donald Lee was here. He's like, pray in tongues. So I'm trying that out. I'm praying in tongues. I'm praying in tongues. I'm praying in tongues more than I've ever prayed in tongues. It's fabulous. Do it. So, but to be transformed is when something overtakes me. It's when I am changed, not I have chosen to change. So I have good news for all of you. The renewing of my mind happens in the Word. And the Word's a door. And the Word's a person. So it's no longer about me going to the Bible and saying, okay, where are the promises? Where are the truths? What do I need to hold on to? Where is it? I now stop and I say, Jesus, show off. And I come to the Word. Let's go to 1 John 3. You know, Hebrews 12, we keep landing in Hebrews. Don't worry, Kim, I'm not going to go there. But Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher. He's Lord. He's the owner of me. He's the boss of me. He is the one who began me. He is the one who is going to complete me. Transformation, not confirmation. Transformation happens as I yield and I go in and I say, okay, so here's the Word, 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. That's super cool. Therefore, the world doesn't know us because it didn't know him. Beloved, now we're children of God. Stop there. What? We are children of God. How quickly it is to just go past that. Yeah, I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm loved. No, stop. The creator of the universe, the one who formed all matter through vibration and sound and light and energy and created the cosmos, I'm his kid. This is all really big. We are children of God, and it hasn't yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he's revealed, we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. One of my favorite things I love to imagine is when people get to heaven and they all go, I was at a worship conference in London, and it's called David's Tent, and that tent goes from about that wall to the next building. It fits about 5,000 people, and it was just worship for 72 hours nonstop. It was really amazing and a blessing and a gift. And I was in there, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to step in right now, God. Not to a formula, like, okay, this is worship. I want the worship to take me away. I'm like, no, I just want to encounter you, Jesus, without a formula. I'm going to do what my pastor says, and by faith, I'm just going to step in, and I'm going to see you. And I heard him say, open your eyes. And I opened my eyes, and he was the tent. He was the tent inhabiting the praises of his people. he was spread out and stretched out, and it was him, and he was smiling as all this worship was going up. He was the tent. I was like, oh, again, oh. You're really big. And you're really happy. And you're really amazing. Wow. Wow. And suddenly I stepped into, he inhabits the praises of his people. It wasn't just some words in a book anymore. I was under it. I started running around the building. I'm like, Eddie's over here. Eddie's over here. Eddie's just so big. And he's so big. And I just kept going farther in and farther in. The word was coming alive. So now, whether I'm up here leading worship or I'm sitting in an airplane seat with my blanket over my face or I'm in my car and I'm worshiping, I'm under that tent. He's inhabiting my praise. He's dwelling over me as I worship him. This is our invitation. To encounter him in the word, through the door of the scriptures, where they are no longer something we just read to memorize, something we just read to do, something we read to mentally go, yes and amen, I believe that's true, I can quote that scripture. We are, you know, I am the beloved's and the beloved, but it's mine. And suddenly the Lord owns me in that place. And I own that place in him. It becomes mine to own, to have authority in. It is my encounter. I get to go back to it every time. I get to choose to dwell in the tents of the Lord. I get to see him there. You may have that. Here's my gift to you. You may now see him above you as a tent when you worship. Take it. Just because I got to see it doesn't mean I'm the only one who gets to have it. It's for all of you. May it bless your life. May it change your worship. May you go forward in it. So, bringing this herd in here. This one. Let's go to Psalm 19, verse 14. I saw something else while I was there. That's what I was looking for. I was like searching the database. I'm like, I had one more. While I was there at David's tent, I'm really purposing myself to see him as a high priest and seated beside the Father and seated with him in heavenly places. And so I'm like, oh, Lord, show me myself seated beside you. And I expected like a bridal gown and all this beauty. You know what I look like? Jesus. I went, what? And that was really funny because I'm like, you know, I had the picture, I had my mental program of what I must look like beside him. But when I asked him to show me, I saw him. And he said, don't you realize you are being transformed into my image? You are becoming like me as my word and my promises over you work themselves in you and transform you. You are starting to look like me. And that is what the Father's after. says when we behold him as in a mirror, when I look at him, I will find me. If we are worried, because I'm going to talk about me, spend our lives, but you gave me this to do and I'm not doing it, and you told me to do this and I'm not doing it, and you gave me these gifts and you're not using them right now, and it's all about produce. And Jesus says it's not about produce. It's about becoming me. The produce is secondary. But if the produce isn't flowing out of his likeness in me, then I am giving you a great facsimile of myself. And God bless you, I have given you lots of myself. And thank you for your grace. I will probably give you some more of me. But my heart is that I will be able to pull off Jesus. And that we can feed each other. The transformation of the living word alive inside of us. So I got to see me looking like Jesus sitting next to him. That is now a door. I now get to go exploring in that land. What does this mean? I look like you. How did I get here? I know I'm not finished yet, and I know I'm still going to be formed. So you're showing me somewhere I'm going to get to, which is dangerous, because then I want to go and try things that are going to make it happen sooner. But he doesn't seem to mind, because he's the author and the finisher. He is the one. He is the one who completes us in him. I was really having a hard time for a couple years because I kept looking to me to complete me. I need to do it. Oh, I blew it again. Why am I not getting this? Why can I not hold my place for more than 3 minutes? It's frustrating. Let's go to Hebrews 12, verse 2. So, but then it dawned on me. I had a spiritual V8. Remember that commercial? I could have had a V8. So it suddenly dawned on me. I was looking to me and I was trying to conform. But my place that I get to hold is to look to Jesus. Because he is the one who began it, and he is the one who will complete it, and not myself. I will fall short, and I will get up, and I will try to do it on my own strength again, guaranteed. But he's not worried. Because he's perfect. He says, so look to me, the author and finisher of your faith. Because for joy set before me, I endured the cross. I despised the shame. And now I am seated at the right hand of my Father on the throne. My joy, Jesus says, is you. My joy is you. My joy is you. It does not matter what the enemy says. It does not matter how you have blown it, how you have set yourself to break a habit, how you have set yourself to believe against all opposition, how you have set yourself to come out of shame. Jesus says, my joy is you. And I am the one who will transform you into my image. So take the words, take the promises that he has spoken over you. And I love what Pastor says. If you don't have a promise, go back and read the Bible. It's all the yellow stuff you highlighted, okay? Because that's a place where Holy Spirit went, look right here, see, listen. This moment right here, this is for you right now. And you're like, oh, that's really good. So every one of us has a promise. If you've never read the Bible before, start in John. Unless you actually pray. Oh, wow, what a concept. Pray and say, where do you want to start with me, Jesus? Start there first. And then go and say, okay, now, Holy Spirit, you are the author and the finisher. Jesus, you're the living word. I need you to read this to me. And don't be in a hurry. If you're a box checker, that's really hard. I'm the kind of person that if there was stuff done in my day that wasn't on my list, I will write it on my list so I can check it off. Because I'm all into completion. Yes, yes, yes. Look at all those check marks. This list didn't happen. We're going to write a new list. Check, check, check. But you can't encounter Jesus that way. My husband's so great. He's like, woman, stop. He's awesome. Because otherwise it's like, and he's like, shh, I just want you. I'm like, but I want a clean house, and I want, you know, the kids to be fed, and I want this, and I want that. And he's like, I just want you. So for some of us, that's super hard. Because who you are, it's not who you like. Somebody somewhere told you you weren't all that in a bag of chips. And so it's really easy to be busy for Jesus. Because then you don't have to look at you. But Jesus has been really working in me to say, you're my joy. I'm the one who began you. I'm the one who will complete you. You're my joy. I'm the author and the finisher of you. And you're not done yet, but I love what you are so far. Can I just have that? He's not waiting for me to look exactly like him before I come. It's in coming that I will be made to look like him. So come. Come to Jesus. Come to him through his word. It's a door of encounter. He's there. Begin to explore and take your time. And there'll be times where he'll say, now run, and you get to run, and you get to run, and you get to have fun. And then he'll say, okay, sit. And let me work this in you. Let me work this in you. So when he answers our prayers, they don't look the way we thought, and we get really disheartened and disappointed. You said I was going to be a worship leader. Now I've lost my voice. I got a finger sawed off. This didn't happen to me, but it's happened to several of my friends who have been in worship. I got a finger sewn off. I've lost my voice. I'm being asked to be the church custodian. But you said I was a worship leader. He goes, well, you are. Sing to the toilets. You only have three fingers? Raise those. Give me what you have. I'm going back to pastor now. When he received that word, he felt like a little boy who just had lunch, and all he knew to do was to give Jesus lunch. All I've got is some tuna fish sandwiches, God. Here you go. And everything seemed to go away. The process of God is the exact opposite of what we think it should be and what this world touts. This world says, if you're successful, if you're talented, you're going to have money, you're going to have fame, you're going to have all of this. But none of that sustains and none of that gives life. God came that we would have life abundantly in him. So his promises to us are not, yes, I'm in the mood. No, I'm not in the mood. His promises are yes and own it. Because he is working in you. And if you can yield and say, I'm going to yield to this promise, God, and I'm going to choose to lay down my understanding, and I'm going to renew my mind according to your word, then I'm not going to miss it. Because we always miss it. It should look like this, but it looks like that. And so then as God is answering, we're missing it. because I'm over here waiting for someone to put a microphone in my hand. Because when someone puts a microphone in my hand, then the promise will be alive. And God's like, you are missing me in all of this. In all of this. In all of this. Because you insist that it's got to look this way. And I'm missing all of this. And so I have found that the quickest way to life is death. But I've also learned that I can't, if I nail this side to the cross, I don't have a hand to nail the other one. I can't crucify myself before the Lord. I can get on the altar, and as soon as it hurts, I'm going to jump off. Only Jesus can have Jesus's way of making us look like Jesus. And he's great at it. He's super great. All he's saying is, I've given you promises. Stay here. This is the door. Don't worry about the journey. Don't worry about what's behind the door, because it never looks like we think, huh, brother? It never, never does. But it's always Jesus when it's Jesus. And everything gets redeemed, and everything is brought into our transformation. So, the word is a door. Go there. His promises are yes. His promises are amen. Own it. Own it. Own it. Eat it. Drink it. It's yours. And then let's fix our eyes on the author and finisher, because he is the one who is able to perform in us what he's going to perform. And as we hold that place, we become like him. We become transformed into his image through the working of his word and his spirit in us. And suddenly we begin to give out Jesus. And that's what we want to give, because that's what's going to change the world. We want to give Jesus. Let's pray. If you would put your hands up, please, in a receiving posture. I also learned, you know, we hear the scripture, son of my right hand, Jesus sits at the right hand. I looked up right hand. It meant the feminine. What? We always see it as the hand of strength, because it's the hand that receives. And so it's related to the feminine. The bride of Christ is meant to receive the goodness. Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. He is receiving the strength. He is receiving the goodness of the Father. We are to receive as his bride. So right now, Father of lights, release your promises. Revive your promises. Awaken, awaken, awaken your promises right now to your bride. Open our ears to hear. Open our eyes to see you. Open the door of your word. May we encounter you. May we dwell there. May we have fabulous adventures in your word. And may we be transformed till we look just like you beside the Father. Lord, we give you all that we don't understand. We give you all that we're afraid of and all that hurts. We bring it and we lay it down now as a sacrifice, and we choose to see not our circumstances, but Jesus. You are the Redeemer. Nothing is lost. Nothing is forsaken in your presence. Take our ashes and make them beautiful. And raise us in Christ to be his beautiful bride, transformed again and again and again. In Jesus' name, amen.